All right. Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Good. All right. Well, it is the last day. It is hard to believe. And sometimes I remember when I was in elementary and high school going to the conferences throughout the week and being tired by Tuesday and Wednesday. But I'm glad you're here. And I hope that this morning you'll listen and hopefully the Lord will speak to us. If you have your Bibles today, please open to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, we're going to read one verse in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 90 and verse 12. And before we get into it, I want to say thank you so much to a preacher and the church for the opportunities to be in the Sunday school on Sunday and be the afternoon program in the Spanish church last evening. We had a wonderful time, and it's always good to be with a church. And again, I was talking to Brother Hamilton this morning. This church is kind of like a second home church to me, just through all the years and different activities with pilots and tournaments. And I remember coming for a junior high tournament. And do you still have those? You guys still have the junior high tournaments? I remember junior high tournaments. It was always a good time. But it is good to be here today, and we're excited about what God has for us. Let's read in Psalm chapter 90, Psalm 90. And the Bible says in verse number 12, Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Let's read that one more time. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And for a little bit today, I just want to take that first section of the verse. "So teach us to number our days." And I want to preach a sermon today. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Let's pray, and we'll get into the message today. Father, we do thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come and hear your word preached. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, give us ears to hear. Lord, I pray that we'd apply everything that we've heard into our lives, Lord, and that you'd help us to be people of action for your word. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done. I pray that you'd fill this place with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Counting down the days always builds anticipation. How many of you over the summer maybe went on vacation, or you went somewhere, summer camp, or you went somewhere, a youth conference or somewhere? How many of you had a calendar maybe on your phone or on your wall? Or how many of you ever done the chain, the paper chain, and as each day you tear off a chain? How many of you ever done that before? Maybe it was, for some of you older folks, maybe it was getting married, or maybe it was, I don't know, going to college, or maybe being done with college or being done with school. I know that's always more encouraging than counting up to something. But counting down to something is always fun. When we're counting down to something, especially a vacation, we plan, we prepare, and everything that we do is focused on that time. And it's kind of a mentality, you know, it's, oh, vacation is going to be coming in 10 days. Oh, vacation is tomorrow. And you know, when you're going to grandma's house or you're going to your vacation spot and you're all excited the night before, you can't sleep. And all the bags are packed and your dad, your mom has gassed up the car, or you got the plane tickets all ready to go. And in the morning, you know that you're headed out on that vacation and you're excited to go. You've been anticipating that event to come. And we make sure that nothing comes in the way of that event, right? I mean, especially if it's summer vacation, you know, your parents, they make sure they take off work. They make sure someone's here to feed the dog. They make sure someone's there to water the garden. I mean, nothing is going to let you keep you from coming down and keep you from going on the event. I remember a couple years ago when I went on my first mission trip to Panama. And I remember, of course, when you fly, you have a certain weight limit that each bag can be. And I remember I was with my friend, and the night before, we were up till about 3 o'clock in the morning. We had to take baseball equipment with us. And I mean, baseball equipment is not light. So we had two bags that we could each take. And I believe the weight limit was 50 pounds or something like that. We had jerseys that we were taking. We were measuring each and every single pound to make sure that those bags could fly no problem. But you know what? It's anticipation. That's anticipation. And I like what David says here. He says, "So teach us to number our days." And David has a sense of anticipation. He knows that his time is short. He knows that the impact that he can have in life is numbered. Now, listen, young people, you might be in elementary school, you might be a teenager, and you think, well, I've got the rest of my life ahead of me. And while that might be true, You do not know how long that we have. Hey, God is coming back. He says in his word that the trumpet's going to sound and someday he is going to return. And that could be today. That could be tomorrow. We don't know when that time is. And so David has a sense of urgency. He has a sense of anticipation. And he says, so teach us to number our days. And you know, as you're on vacation, you're in the car. And what's the question that every kid loves to ask and every parent loathes to hear? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Absolutely. Are we there yet? I remember going on Thanksgiving or going on a holiday to my grandma's house in Michigan. And, hey, Dad, are we there yet? You know, we're just a little bit longer. Be patient. Are we there yet? Over and over asking, and finally we get there. But, hey, David kind of has we see here that David has an are we there yet mentality. Now, this wasn't a mentality that was looking and not living in the moment for Christ, but this was a mentality that understood that, hey, I'm not going to be on earth forever. I'm not going to be around forever, and everything that I'm going to do for God, I have to do now. Everything that I have to do, everything that God wants me to do, I have to take that opportunity to do that today. So if we may, let's take a look at three things that having numbered days. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We're going to look at three things that numbered days ought to give us. Three things that numbered days ought to give us. Number one, numbered days require a humble spirit. Go with me to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. The Bible says in Psalm 39, verse 3 and 4, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. The first thing that numbered days give to us is they require a humble spirit. They require a humble spirit. We see here that David says, you know, Lord, make me to know the end of to make me know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Hey, young people, listen, you're in high school right now. You're in elementary right now. But listen, those days will not last forever. Those days will not last forever. And we have to understand, we have to keep a humble spirit. We have to understand that there is humility in our position. The Bible says that we're nothing but dust. No matter how good we try to be, we are nothing but dust. God has chosen to use us. And folks, let me remind us that there should be humility in our position, but also there is honor in his possession. You and I on our own, we are nothing. We are nothing except dust. We are nothing. The Bible says that our life is but a vapor. Our time on earth here is short. There has to be a sense of urgency. And we have to understand that as we go through life, as we have numbered days, if I'm going to make a difference for Christ with the short time that I have, I can't do it on my own. It requires a humble spirit. It requires that I understand that I need God's power each and every day in order to make a difference for Christ. There's nothing that I can do in my flesh that is going to make a difference for eternity. There's nothing that I can do in and of myself that's going to matter for Christ. We understand that the work that God can do through me is far more important than what I can do. That's why it's so important that each and every day we die to our flesh. That's why it's so important that each and every day we walk in the Spirit of God. You say, well, I'm only in elementary. I'm only in fifth or sixth grade. I'm only a high schooler. Hey, just like Brother, I love what Brother Thompson said yesterday or on Monday. He said, you know, there's no age limit to being to serving in God. There's no exemption clause in the Bible that says, well, once you're in high school, then you should start serving God. Or once you're in high school, then you should start living a crucified life. Or once you're in high school, you should start living a life that's filled with God's power. There's no exemption clause in high school that says, you know, once I'm an adult, then I should start living for God. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, hey, you know, once you get older and once you have more responsibility, then you should start living a life that's crucified to Christ. Then you should start living a life filled with God's power. Hey, Solomon reminds us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, what does he say? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now. Remember now, it's so important that we understand that each and every day we need God's power. We need God's power. And that comes when we have a humble spirit. When we understand that, hey, my time as a high schooler, it's limited. My time on earth is limited. I don't know how long I have to make an impact for eternity. Think about this. God has given us, the Bible says, you know, we'll get to it in a little bit, but the Bible says that God gives 70 years, maybe 80 to man. That's kind of the measure of days for man. Think about if you live to be 70 years old, that, you know, and that, sure, that seems like a long time, but think about that. 70 years is all that we have to impact eternity. 70 years, maybe it's less than that. Maybe it's 30 years. We all know somebody that's passed away at a younger age, and our hearts break at that, but that happens in life. And we understand that it might not be 70 years. That's why it's so important that each and every day that you and I wake up, we die to our flesh. We have a humble spirit. We understand that if I'm going to make a difference for Christ, I need God's power in my life. I can't do it on my own. I can't live the life that God wants me to live. The recipe that Brother Wynn gave us the other morning. Hey, I can do all that and go through the motions, but without the power of God, it makes no difference. You know, you can go out bus calling, you can go out visiting, you can try and you can go to the mission field, you can be a missionary, you can be a pastor, you can be an evangelist, but without God's power, it doesn't matter. We need God's power each and every day more than anything else. The first thing we have to understand is that number days require a humble spirit. Number days require a humble spirit. Number two, number days demand witnessing lips. Go with me now to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And we're going to read in verse 15. Once again, we find David. He's contemplating life. And, you know, sometimes that might seem what is the meaning of life? Hey, listen, God gives us the meaning of life in the Bible. It's to serve Him. It's to walk with Him and be filled with His power each and every day. That's why we were created, is to have fellowship with God. And we see here in Psalm 71, look in verse number 15. The Bible says in Psalm 71, verse 15, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof." My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Once again, David is here, and he says, I don't know how long I have to make a difference for Christ. I don't know how long I have to impact eternity. It might be 70 years. It might end tomorrow. It might end today. I don't know. But one thing I know is I'm going to have a humble spirit. I'm flesh. I am nothing. I need God's power in order to make a difference. And secondly, no matter what happens, I am going to show forth God's righteousness and God's salvation all the day. Listen, this verse right here, this convicted me. You know, starting deputation and you know, talking to pastors, and yes, I have a burden, and yes, God has given me a call. But listen, we need to be involved in God's work each and every day. We need to be involved and understand that not only do you and I have a small moment to impact eternity, but we are impacting someone else's eternity during that time. Love Brother Hamilton's thought yesterday about what is more needful. You know, there's somebody that needs you. There's somebody that is counting on you. They may not know it. I think of the passage of Scripture in the Gospels where the four men take the man with palsy and bring him down through the roof. That man had no power to get up on the roof on his own. That man had no power to get to Jesus. That man, I mean, yes, he knew that he was sick. He knew that he needed healing, but guess what? He couldn't do it on his own. He needed a friend. He needed somebody that cared for him. He needed somebody that had some compassion that said, no matter what it takes, no matter what it takes, I am going to get this person Jesus Christ. Who is it in your life that you're going to say, no matter what it takes, I'm going to get this person to Jesus Christ? Now listen, you and I are not responsible for making sure that person gets saved, but it is our job to warn. It is our job to give the gospel. It is our job to tell them of Christ's love and what He did on the cross. It is our job to make sure that we show forth His righteousness and His salvation. Number of days demand witnessing lips first because of the brevity of life. The Bible says in James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The brevity of life. The brevity of life. I remember when I was in high school, it was my sophomore year of high school. We had my junior year of high school. And there was a girl had graduated the year before, had gotten married, and she died. She was 20 years old, and she died. And I remember we were, I think you guys are doing your bike-a-thon here in the next couple days. We were on our bike-a-thon, and we always would do a camp out, but we that night there was a funeral that we were going to do the camp out. I remember it was the most, I had gone to school with her, I had sat at lunch with her, I had talked to her, we were in classes together, and now here she was 20 years old, and she was dead. The brevity of life. She didn't know that tomorrow was going to be the last day, or that today was going to be the last day on earth. Everything that she had done for Christ was over. It was done. It was too late to get it done. We have to understand that number of days demand witnessing lips because of the brevity of life, but also because of the eternality of our choices. God gives us a free will. God gives us the opportunity to make choices. But listen, young people, listen to me. The choices that you make at this age will impact the rest of your life. You say, well, I'm just a teenager and, you know, it's just this small decision. Listen, your parents, your pastor, your teachers, your youth pastor, they care too much about you. They love you too much. They pray for you too much for you to take everything that has been invested in you and squander it and waste it. Listen, we need everybody involved for the cause of Christ. Everybody sitting in this room needs to say, I'm willing to do whatever it is that God wants me to do. And there's somebody in my life, you say, well, I don't know many people outside of church. Maybe you don't have a big circle of friends outside of the church. Listen, you still come in contact with people on a regular basis. Maybe it's at the library. Maybe it's at driver's ed. Or maybe it's at work if you work a job. Hey, everybody has somebody that they can reach for the cause of Christ. We have to understand that the choices that we make not only impact our eternity, but they impact the eternity of somebody else. If there's a person that I see on the street, if I'm knocking the door, and I don't have a sense of urgency, I don't have a sense of a burden in my heart to reach that person with the gospel, and I just say, here's a track, read it sometime if you get a chance. Hey, listen, we need to get the gospel out. And there's been many people that have been saved through a track. But what about opening your mouth? Say, hey, you know what? This is an invitation out to church. But listen, more important than that, where are you going to go when you die? Has there ever been a reason from the Bible you have been born again? You'd be surprised how people are just empty and sick of religion, sick of trying to figure it out on their own, sick of philosophy, sick of going to church and feeling empty Sunday after Sunday. Maybe there's someone in this room, you say, you know, I'm in a Christian school and I go to church every week and maybe I'm involved in a ministry at the church, but you know what? It's just empty. Maybe that's because Jesus Christ is not in your heart. Maybe you need to ask Christ to come in your heart today and be saved. But your choices that you make today will impact not only the rest of your life, but will impact eternity. Think about it. If God is speaking to your heart today, think about it. If God is working in your life and says, hey, I want to call you, and your name, He's calling your name, and through this whole conference, there's been service after service, and you're maybe scared, or maybe you're shy, or maybe you're nervous about what your parents will say. Hey, listen, I was in third grade when God called me to be a missionary. I was in third grade. And guess what? God can speak to a third grader. God can speak to a high schooler, but you have to be listening. And if God has been speaking to your heart and you've pushed it off and you've said, no, I've got a plan for my own life. I want to do what I want to do. Maybe you're an adult. You know, sometimes I think, yes, it's important for that children surrender, but listen, God is still calling adults. God is still calling adults to go to the mission field. God is still calling adults to be pastors and to serve in the church. And if you push that off, think about the person's life that you are not able to influence if you tell God no. Think about the people that God has for you to reach, but may never reach because you told God no. Maybe it wasn't as maybe it wasn't in a service. Maybe it was somebody, and you know God impressed on your heart to go talk to them about the gospel, and you said no. It would be awkward. It would be uncomfortable. Hey, listen, there's not going to be any awkwardness. There's not going to be any discomfort at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what there's going to be there? There's going to be weeping when we see the people that we should have reached with the gospel but told God no because we were too selfish, because we were too self-centered to go and tell somebody else about the gospel. We have to understand numbered days, they require a humble spirit. We need God's power more than anything else. Everything that Jamie and I are going to do as we travel on deputation. Yes, we're trying to go and raise support, but we need God's power more than anything else as we witness. Church member, you need God's power more than anything else, no matter what ministry it is that you serve in. No matter what capacity it is, you say, I'm an usher, I don't need God's power. You need God's power. You need God's power. You'll never know how just a simple handshake and a simple welcome to Faith Baptist Church might be the very thing that that person needs to be open and receptive to pastors preaching that day and to what God has for him to hear. You never know. Say, I'm just in the nursery. Hey, listen, now as a father of an eight-month-old, I am very thankful for nursery workers. And my wife helped in the nursery when we were in Elgin and full-time. And I mean, listen, those nursery workers, if you're in the nursery, thank God for you. You never know how having a service that's distraction-free so that they can hear God's word preached without having to hear a baby screaming or talking or babbling, whatever it is, all of that, that matters. No matter what it is, we all need to be filled with God's power for whatever capacity we serve in. Number days, number one, they require a humble spirit. Number two, they demand witnessing lips. We have such a small window in life to make an impact on eternity. And lastly, number three, numbered days require obedient hearts. Numbered days require obedient hearts. Go with me back to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. We're going to read again in verse number 12. Again, the Bible says, so teach us to number our days. We have to understand, we have to have a perspective and a mentality of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet, but we have to constantly remind ourselves that this life is not the end-all, be-all. God has an eternity for every single person on this earth, and we have an opportunity to impact that eternity. But the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that, listen, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I see here in this verse, I see obedient hearts. Teach us to number our days. Lord, I want to have a focus of eternity. Lord, I want to live with eternity in mind. Lord, I want to see people I want to see their never dying souls in either heaven or hell. Lord, I want to see that. Give me that vision. Give me that burden. Give me that compassion. A humble spirit and witnessing lips are crucial. But David says here, we need to apply our hearts. Numbered days, they require obedient hearts. When God speaks to you, say, yes, Lord, whatever it is you want, I'll do it. When I was in third grade, again, I'm nobody, but I said, Lord, here am I. These pastors and these missionaries in here, there was some point in, maybe it was in Bible college, maybe they were completely out of God's will, and God got a hold of them in some way. And they said, you know what, Lord, I surrender. I'll obey. I'll submit my heart. It goes back to the very first thing, having a humble spirit. Having a humble spirit. If we're so filled with ourself, if we're so filled with our dreams and our aspirations, and you know, when I get out of high school, I want to make money. I want to go to college, and I want to be an engineer, and I want to be a police officer, whatever it be. Hey, listen, we need good men in churches supporting pastors. We need good men in churches supporting missionaries. We need that. But listen, we also need more young men that God is calling to say, I'll go. I'll surrender. Whatever it is, God, I don't care. I don't care if I have to leave my family. I don't care if I have to give up my aspirations. I don't care if I have to give up my dreams. I'm willing to go because you're calling me, because you're speaking to me. David says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. First thing I see here is intentional application. Intentional application. He said, Lord, I want to have a mindset of numbered days, and I want to apply my heart. Listen, there's going to be distractions. There's going to be things in your life that Satan is going to put in your life to try to distract you, whether it's money, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a family relationship that says, are you really sure you're called to Brazil? I mean, they have spiders and snakes, and I mean, that's a long ways to go. Are you sure you really have to go to Brazil? Are you sure that you have to go to Mexico? Are you sure you have to go all the way back to the Northern Mariana Islands? I mean, that's a long ways from home. That's a long ways from home. That's a long ways from family. Listen, it might be, hey, look, I got a good job, and, you know, I'm making good money. That's an appeal. Young people, listen, you might go to college. You might go to Bible college. If you go to Bible college and you start working a job maybe for the first time, it's going to be, some of you, that's going to be the most money you've ever made before. And Satan might try to use that to try to lure you away and try to say, hey, no, you know what? God's call, it's not that important. Look, you can live a life of comfort. You can live a life of ease. You can live a life of security. But listen, there is no greater security than living a life in the center of God's will. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what situation you're put in. When you're in God's hand, you're in the safest place that is. I've heard, growing up, you hear missionary stories about missionaries. I remember back, especially when I was a kid, in Africa, I remember in the Ivory Coast, in some countries, there was some civil war and terrible. And I remember hearing stories about missionaries there that were in houses where there was machine guns and there were, you know, military and rebel forces shooting each other from house to house. And yet they felt safe because that's where God wanted them to be. It doesn't matter what health situation you're in. You say, you know, God, I'm nervous about going somewhere. I'm nervous about being in a place where maybe, you know, the people aren't as healthy, and maybe there's a concern about how. Listen, when you're in God's will, God is going to take care of you. God is going to take care of you. Say, oh, I'm worried about the finances. Hey, listen, you know, this is something that I had to learn. It doesn't matter if I had a good job. I was working at a bank. I made good money. But, you know, I had to learn that if I was working at the bank, guess who was providing that paycheck for me? It wasn't the vice president of the company that was signing the check. It's God that's taking care of you. It doesn't matter if you're a bricklayer. It doesn't matter if you're a machinist. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or missionary. God is the one that's taking care of us. And God will always take care of his own. I mean, if you read through Matthew chapter 6, how many times does God say, you know, he has the sparrows numbered, and then he says, are ye not much better than they? God wants you to step out by faith and have an obedient heart. Regardless of the challenges, regardless of the obstacles, regardless of your family doesn't agree. Listen, God's calling isn't dependent upon if my parents approve of the calling that God has. Now listen, please understand, I'm not saying go against your parents, but if God has called you to the mission field and you've counseled about it, you've prayed about it, and you know that's God's will for your life, and your parents, and they're saved, God will give them peace about it too. It's difficult for them to lose. They're not losing any. It's just going somewhere else, all right? But God will give them peace about it. God will give them peace about it. We need to have obedient hearts. We need to make sure that there's intentional application. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 11, look in the verse before, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. We have to keep in mind, there is a burning hell. There's a real place right now where the millions and billions of people that rejected Christ in this life are right now. We have to keep in mind that every moment someone slips away into that eternity. We have to keep in mind that it might be a friend, it might be a cousin, it might be a coworker, but every day someone is slipping into eternity. And the wrath of God is real. Sometimes we have in our minds, we have this picture of God being this, you know, this kind of pie in the sky, you know, I don't know, we make up this God in our mind about who he is. Listen, the Bible says in Jude 22, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It's a real place. Hell is a real place. Can you see it today? Can you see it today? Can you see the people that maybe never had an opportunity to hear the gospel? Or maybe that did have an opportunity and still rejected Christ. They're in hell today for all of eternity. I wonder if somebody missed an opportunity because they didn't have an obedient heart. I wonder if somebody missed an opportunity because they didn't keep eternity in mind. They didn't see that person as a never-dying soul that was going to either die and go to hell or go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ had done for them, because they didn't have an obedient heart. Requires obedient hearts, and that obedient heart's intentional application and also immediate action. Listen, the time is now. The window of opportunity that we have to make a difference for Christ is today. You know, it's not about, sure, I want to get to Brazil as quickly as possible. That's our heart. That's our desire. That's our burden. But listen, I'm not going to wait to get to Brazil to start reaching lost people. I'm not going to wait to try and get to where God wants me to go when there's people right now that God has for me, that God has for you to reach. Don't wait until, you know, you're a teenager. Don't wait until you're an adult. Don't wait until God has given you a call. God has given everybody a call. God has given us a command to reach the lost with the gospel. Be proactive today. It requires immediate action. I love what the Bible says in Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah 20, Jeremiah has been put in prison. He's feeling sorry for himself. And people are mocking him. The Bible says he was in derision daily. Derision, being made fun of. I mean, the religious crowd was against him. And Jeremiah says in verse 9 of chapter 20, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." God had given him prophecies. And God had told Jeremiah, "You're going to say exactly what I say, nothing else." And because of this, again, he was being made fun of. He was being mocked. He was being ridiculed. And he's feeling sorry for himself. And then he says, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." No matter what happens, I'm going to have a heart that's on fire for Christ. No matter the obstacles that come, I'm going to have a heart that's burning for God. No matter what comes, I am going to stand for Christ. No matter who in the youth group is doing right, I'm going to stand for God. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, I'm going to stand for God because my heart is fixed. My heart is made up. I have an obedient heart. I know my time is short. A teenager, you know that you're not going to be a teenager forever. You know that you have an opportunity right now to make a difference for Christ that you'll never have again. Adult, you have an opportunity to make a difference in your family, in your work, wherever it is. You can make a difference for Christ, but we have to do it today. We have to take the opportunity today, now. Now, we have to make sure we apply our hearts. We have to make sure that we take immediate action. I love that song. "I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes." What is it this week that God has spoken to you about? You say, "Well, I don't feel called to missions." All right, that's fine. Has God been laying somebody on your heart that you need to pray for? Has God laid somebody on your heart that you need to go and give the gospel again? Maybe you've already said witness to them and they rejected you. Listen, they haven't rejected you. They rejected Christ. Keep on praying. Be persistent. I love what Brother John said the other day about persistence. Man, we need Christians that are going to persist. That are going to persist, that are going to keep on going. It doesn't matter. Nothing is going to stop me. I'm going to have a heart burning for God. And though the whole world may be against me, I will stand. I will go on for Christ. I will serve God. Because that's my heart. I have an obedient heart. I have an obedient heart. Again, it is so vital that we keep in mind that eternity is just around the corner. All it takes is for a diagnosis from a doctor. All it takes is the trumpet to sound. and we're out of here. And every person that you've reached for Christ, that's it. No more. Every single bus kid that Faith Baptist Church is going to reach has been reached. Every single person that in this community that was going to get saved is going to get saved. That's it. No more. Every person that you could influence, it's over. That's all it takes. We have to understand, we have to be busy about His service. We have to have an urgency, a sense of the urgency, a sense of where we are at in time, where we are at in our lives. We don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we have an opportunity to serve Christ. It's so important that we serve Christ today. Serve Christ now. Teach us to number our days. He says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. David was, he understood, are we there yet? You know, he had a sense of anticipation. He knew that his time was short. He knew that God had something in his life that God wanted him to do. And he said, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I have to do. I want everything that God has for me. I want to accomplish everything that God wants me to accomplish. I want to make sure that I make a difference that God wants me to make. We have to understand, first of all, that's going to take a humble spirit. A humble spirit. Understand, you can't do it on your own. We can't serve Christ on our own. We need God's power each and every day. We have to understand, secondly, that it takes witnessing lips. Numbered days demand witnessing lips. Thirdly, numbered days demand an obedient heart. Lord, yes, whatever it is. You want me to be a missionary? Lord, I'll go. Lord, you want me to get involved in nursing home here or in soul winning or bus calling? You want me to get involved with giving? Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it because I understand that my time is short. I understand that somebody is depending on me. I understand that somebody's eternity, I have an opportunity through God's power to change today through what He can do. Numbered days. So teach us to number our days. Are we there yet? No, we're not. But we're close. Let's make sure that each and every day we serve God with compassion. Serve Him with love and a fervor that when we stand before Him, He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's close with prayer today. Thank you for listening. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the opportunity to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you would do something in the hearts and lives of everyone here today. Thank you for your goodness to us, preacher.
Thank you, Brother Putman. Look this way just for a moment. We'll have a brief invitation. That reminds me of a message. You might have heard it in Pilots that Brother Jerry Ross preached here. I don't know if you remember that or not. I can't remember if he used that text, but I remember that he had a picture of a like a clock that you would have at a basketball game or some athletic event that counts down. You know, if it's a high school basketball game, what is it, like an 8-minute quarter? If it's a college ball game, it's like a 20-minute half. And that time winds down, you know, from 20 minutes to 10 to 8 to 7 down to the last couple minutes. And if it's a tight contest, there's a sense of urgency in keeping an eye on the clock. And God has a time clock for every person in this room. And the minute we come into this world, that button is pushed. And we're counting down. And I don't know if it's 70 years, 80 years, 40 years. You don't either. But time is measured out by God. And we need to number our days. What do we know we have? We have today. Serve Him today. Be obedient today. Have a humble spirit today. Get a chance to witness to somebody today. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Time is counting down. Excellent message. What has God said to you this morning? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a brief invitation time here. Don't you respond because it's the thing to do. You come if you have something specific on your heart to say to God that God said to you. While we wait, even at this moment, the clock is ticking down. Response to this message, the clock is ticking down.